Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board with us as day by day we face the issues. It is always our prayer that you will be informed, inspired, challenged, and refreshed with the information that's brought to you through Let's Face the Issues broadcast each and every day. We strive to bring you truth based on and according to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. As we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It is the truth book. And Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32, made a profound statement. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then in John 14:6, Jesus says, thy word is truth. And further, he makes a declaratory statement in John 17:17, where the Lord Jesus says, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God that ought to make a difference in your life and mine. It ought to be the prism by which we analyze world events. As I have said for many, many years, we each need to have a central biblicist worldview. A central biblicist worldview simply means that whatever happens in society, whatever's taking place politically, socially, economically, militarily, financially, et cetera, we analyze it, we look at it, scrutinize it through the prism of the Word of God. What does God's Word say? How does God's Word say that we ought to, what does God's Word say that we ought to do in response to what we see taking place? This is the reason, very little simple things that I could use to illustrate that is the fact that what we see taking place in Ukraine today with the war in, with Russia and Ukraine, is that something that will be decided in the Scripture? Is it something that would be based upon what you find in the Scripture? Absolutely, unequivocally, God's Word points to the fact that in the last days, these things shall take place. So, ladies and gentlemen, I urge you each day to trust the Scripture, trust the Word of God. It is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word. It's the truth book, and truth is what is not sought today in society. It was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear. Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that truth is not respected today, truth is not received today, truth is not embraced today. However, truth is demeaned, rejected, and dissed, as the world calls it, in society today. This is the reason I go to what the 15th century theologian and church reformer once said. John Huss made this statement. Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. That ought to be our mindset and our mantra. That ought to be the modus operandi for each and every child of God, for every Christian, for everyone listening to the sound of my voice today. Should be the mindset that we're going to seek the truth. And ladies and gentlemen, it's not on the Communist Network News. By the way, CNN's just started CNN Plus, which is trying to be a rival to Fox program that is online. What is it called? Fox Today or whatever it is, that's the online broadcast 24/7 of Fox News. They were trying to compete with Fox on that, and they started CNN Plus, and now about 2 months into it, they have less than 10,000 viewers on an international basis. It's a dismal failure because it is not news. It is fabrication of what they want us to believe. So we need to seek the truth and learn the truth, listen to the truth, ladies and gentlemen. We need to be able to stand for truth and defend the truth, even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda, Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment like the Honda generators. And Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. They can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. You might say, where is that found? That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark, ladies and gentlemen, 165-foot flagpole. At the top of that flagpole is the U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing 24/7. Find that flagpole at the base of that flag, and the flagpole you find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good, good, good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly environment. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday so that the employees and their families can worship in the house of God with their families as God intended it. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview appointment, and see what God does placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking about a very serious subject today. Elections matter. We're in an election year, and elections matter. Before we get into the monologue on that, and before we get into the essence of that discussion today, let me remind you, this Sunday is Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday. And in our church, First Conservative Baptist Church, we're located exactly 1 mile south of I-295. We'd love to have you worship with us on Sunday. We will have the worship service at 10:45 on Sunday morning. We'll have a morning brunch with the church family, and those who would like to drop in at 8 o'clock just for some light breakfast, and then go into the Bible study hour at 9:30, immediately following that into the worship center for the morning worship. We will be looking at a message entitled The Savior of the Cross. It's the resurrection message. It is the apex of everything that's called Christianity and what we believe and why we believe it. Had Jesus not arisen from the grave some 2,000 years ago, there'd be no church, no Christian, no Christian family, no such thing as having church. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the good news for you today. For every family that worships with us this Sunday, every family, not each family member, but every family that worships with us this Sunday, will be giving to you free of charge my latest book, Proofs of the Resurrection. Proofs of the Resurrection is a wonderful, wonderful material in print. It's about 105, 110 pages. It talks about the proofs of the resurrection, goes to all of the text in the Scripture dealing with the resurrection, and validating and proving it through the Scripture and through historical evidence. Ladies and gentlemen, the eyewitnesses, the Savior's gone from the tomb. The tomb is empty. And then the eyewitnesses that are innumerable listed in the Scripture validates that Jesus Christ was not a phantom, that he physically, literally, bodily rose from the tomb. And we would love to have this in your hands. We're making that available for those that worship with us this Sunday. Looking forward to having you worship with us for Resurrection Sunday, ladies and gentlemen. 9:30 for the Bible study, 10:45 for the morning worship service. Ladies and gentlemen, the latest headlines, perhaps you've been keeping up with it. The latest headlines about Disney, Gay Disney as I call them now, Gay Disney. This article says, gayest kids movie yet from Disney unleashed on America. It is dated April the 13th, Orlando, Dateline, Orlando, Florida. It's being called Disney's greatest kids movie, or the gayest kids movie. And it comes to us at a time when Americans are dumping the entertainment giant because of its support of LGBTQ causes and opposition to Florida's anti-grooming law, giving parents a voice in the education of the their children. So the article further states, Better Nate Than Ever, that's N-A-T-E, Better Nate Than Ever, is a musical comedy released this month by Disney, and it's aimed at the minds of pre-teenagers. Further, the article states, the Beast, that is the news media called The Beast, reported, Better Nate Than Ever, J. just may be the most gay, positive, and encouraging youth programming that Disney has ever released. Kevin Phelan, or Phelan, however you pronounce it, a senior entertainment reporter for The Beast, raved over the movie's gloriously queer position. "The film is the most beautiful sign of progress," he said, "and the greatest compliment I can give it. It's something I desperately wish I had when I was growing up," according to this writer. "It's a love letter to kids, to theater kids, and the most specifically theater kids who are made to feel shy or ashamed about who they are and how they acted, and who probably almost 100% of the time grew up to be gay." The film is directed, the film's director said, "This new movie is specifically meant to further, hear me, is meant to further the LGBTQ agenda. Quote, in my several years with the company now, I was heartened to see we won the LGBT group GLAAD, G-L-A-A-D, award and had the first ever same-gender kiss in a movie," end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but that's a stench in the nostrils of God. And I don't know about you, but I feel that there's a need to have something done to go back with a change of the special legislation. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but I believe it's the 1972, 374, someplace in there, where the state of Florida issued special legislation allowing Mickey Mouse, Minnie Mouse, better known as Disneyland, to come into the state of Florida. But in Disneyland, Mickey and Minnie's, if you please, umbrella, they literally have been given the keys, as I call it, keys to the kingdom called the state of Florida. The Florida special legislation allows Disney to have its own police force, has its own city council, has its own taxing authority, has its own utilities, and operates a city-state within the state of Florida. Now, most are not aware of that. And that was done by legislation. And that was in the 70s. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's time for our legislators to do something about it. The governor's already mentioned that he's going to ask the legislative session to do something about it. It is my prayer and my desire to see legislators in the Florida House and the Florida Senate that will take up the baton and run with it and do something that will stop Disney from its perversion and its employees recruiting through their pedophilia, recruiting our sons and our daughters and our grandkids, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if you're aware of it or not either, but since 2012, and I don't know if they had it before that, 2012, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, each year since 2012, there's been consistently between one and four pedophile employees at Disney that's been arrested as a result of fondling kids there in the Disney park. Now, I believe they're far more than that because they make it a point to hire the LGBTQ community, which is the pedophile arm, which is part of the LGBTQ, the pedophile arm that wants to recruit your sons and your daughters and our grandkids. Ladies and gentlemen, I think it's perhaps Disney be required to operate under the letter of the law for the state of Florida and be required to do so based on prescription by the Florida House and the Senate. It's time to defang Disney. It's time to defund Disney. It's time to disengage Disney with its moral, ethical destruction of the state of Florida and those that come from a global standpoint coming into Florida to go to Disneyland. Disney is now the flagship. Hear me. Disney is now the flagship for the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. Disney is the flagship for carrying that out. The goal of recruitment of our dear children, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible tells us that our children are a heritage from the Lord, Psalms 127 and verse 3. Every parent, every Christian, every conservative must stop being silent about what's taking place like that in the state of Florida. We must require that our elected officials, our elected political leaders, pass some legislation to protect the rights and the freedoms of the Christians, and the conservatives, and the families in the state of Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, it's an impossibility. It should be an impossibility to allow this to continue in our wonderful state, and yet somehow, some way, there's a mindset that it should not be touched. It is what some call the third rail, and it ought not to be touched in that fashion. I'm looking at an article that says, cancel culture targets civil rights and biblical values. That's the target of the agenda in Disney and multitudes across our land and here in the state of Florida. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood, how are you today?
Great. I pray that you are.
Doing well, doing well. I haven't been a God-fearing, believing Christian, you know, Jesus Christ is my Lord and I'm his slave all my life. So I've had a secular mind and a Christian mind, but neither one of those minds has ever looked at a prepubescent child and thought to myself, I need to discuss with them my attractions to females or anything about my lifestyle in regards to sexual attraction or physical intimacy. I have trouble within myself of comprehending the mind that actually thinks that it is okay to do that. And the only answer I could come up with is they are possessed by something spiritual and not in a good way. I do believe in my heart that it is a demonic possession that takes hold of them and allows them to spread that lie.
It is, Jim, and you're exactly right. It is a demonic factor, no question about that. But the bottom line is it's the recruitment process that you sexualize our kids from early age, and then you recruit them into your sexual dysphoria. And it destroys the lives and the minds and the hearts at an early age of our sons and our daughters and our grandkids. And it's on a grand scale, and I use the term grand scale in the enormity of it, on a nationwide basis. And this gets back to the fact that we need legislators in the state of Florida, in the House and in the Senate, that will take a stand and not be bought by the lobbyists out of Disney, not be controlled by the lobbyists in general, and not be greedy and gravious that they're wanting the money rather than wanting to please God in the service as the legislator that's elected by the people. But, Jim, you're exactly right. We need to keep on praying and asking God to send us legislators in the House and the Senate in the state of Florida and in our nation that will protect us and our family values and the faith and the freedoms that we have in our nation today. Jim, thanks so much for your input. Yes, sir, go ahead.
Can I? Yeah, I've got one future prophecy question here. Luke 20:21 is talking about armies. Now, in the Hebrew and the Greek, whenever they're saying armies, are they talking about like a siege army, or are they just talking being surrounded by enemies? Because their current state, you know, they're kind of like in the middle of enemies, but is so that talking about a specific siege?
What is the text specifically you're speaking about?
Luke 20:21.
I'll turn to that for us.
And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Now, they're talking about like a siege, or are they just talking about encompassed by enemy?
No, encompassed by the enemy, siege from the enemy, coming around, encircling, encompassing, yes. And it's the pointing to that ultimate event that will take place. You can go to Matthew chapter 24 and look at about verses 5 through about verse 12 and following, and find the synoptic gospel in the parallel text of that.
Okay, yeah, because I know that sometimes whenever you read through the King James there, that sometimes words in the Greek have multiple meaning, or they're explicit Greek words that has a meaning there, and being surrounded by enemies obviously are, but I was just curious if they're talking in this context here as to actually being besieged by an army.
Being besieged by the enemy armies, yes, the enemy that's coming against them. Jim, thank you so much for your call.
That clears that up. Thank you.
Yes, God bless you. Have a blessed day. I believe we have our special guest. Ladies and gentlemen, today we're talking about what's happening specifically by introductory remarks with Disney and what is taking place and what needs to be done with the legislators in the state of Florida to correct some things that were done, I believe, overly so and by error in the 70s when we basically gave Disney the keys to the kingdom, as I call it, for basically being a city-state in and of themselves in the state of Florida. I believe that needs to be corrected. I believe we need to have people in office today, ladies and gentlemen, that is talked about in Exodus 18, chapter 21, at chapter 18, verse 21, where God gives us specifics. Let me just review this. Then we'll interview our special guest today. For those that are put in position of leadership, according to the Word of God, there needs to be certain criteria that they meet, or they ought not to be in the position of leadership of the people in any nation. In fact, it's in Exodus chapter 18, verse 21, and the Scripture says there, "Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens." There's two or three qualifications there. I'll touch on that, and then I'll introduce our special guest. Number one qualification is able men, competent, capable, well able to do the job. Secondly, such as fear God, means having reverence for God, respect for God, willing to say no to bribes and lobbyists and the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. Men of truth, that is, having honest in reputation and in reliability, not liars. I've said in the recent years, we've got loose, lax, lost liars and lunatics in charge in Washington. And we have that so also in so many of our state legislative bodies. Hating covetousness, another qualification given, that is not grasping, not grievous, greedy, not seeking self, but seeking what the Savior would have for us in leadership role. That's very, very clear, very simple, very succinct, but it's very, very clear that that's what God would have us to do. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted today to have with us such a candidate as is described there in Exodus chapter 18. Candidate, I believe, that is worthy of listening, hearing, and seeing what God does in relationship to an office holder for us in the state of Florida. We want to welcome today La Sierra Masselin. La Sierra is the candidate for the Florida House District 14 in this election year. La Sierra, thank you so much for taking time out of a busy campaigning schedule to be with us on this broadcast today.
Oh, it's with pleasure, Dr. Youngblood. I always definitely will always make opportunity and time to, you know, just talk to the community and get the word out. I do appreciate it.
Amen. Well, I'm thankful for that. La Sierra, you and I have talked individually, and we've talked on the air on several occasions, but we may have listeners today that's not familiar with your name, not familiar with your candidacy, and not familiar with you individually. I think it'd be wise for us to take a few moments and allow you to basically reintroduce yourself to our listeners and tell us something about yourself, your background, and then we'll go further into the questions in relationship to what you're doing and what you're wanting to accomplish.
Absolutely. So my name is La Sierra Masselin. I am the candidate, the only conservative candidate here in Jacksonville for District 14. That is the northwest of Jacksonville. I am currently an independent insurance broker. I specialize in Medicare and life insurance, a wife of 12 years, and we have one son that attends a university here as well. The most important thing in my life is that I'm a woman of God. I love the Lord. I genuinely live from Him daily. I'm excited about the season that we're in because as a result of what occurred during this weekend, this Resurrection Sunday, I am the woman of God that I am today. I've been able to recover all victoriously countless times throughout my life because of the resurrector that lives on the inside.
Amen. Well, I was going to at some point in time ask you in relationship to that, how important, and I'll do that at this juncture since you touched on that, how important in your theology, in your position spiritually, how important is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that something that's priority in your opinion in Christianity? Is that something that just happens to be another, quote, holy day in the on the calendar year? What does that mean to you? And what should it mean to our listeners from your perspective?
Yes, absolutely. So this time is such a sweet time. It is the pivotal point of Christianity when we give our lives to the Lord and we believe on the fact that He conquered hell, death, and the grave on our behalf. And so as a result, he has rose again with all power in his hands. And so that same power, when we receive the Lord God on the inside, we operate in that same power and authority. And so that's what it means to me. As I stated, because I received the Lord so many years ago, I've been able to recover from so many setbacks that the enemy thought he had me trapped. He thought he had me confused and trodden. But the devil is a liar, as we know. And because the Lord has rose again with all power in his hand, he has enabled me to be able to be a witness, to be a light shining on a hill, to let all know that you can live righteously, soberly in this present world. Although, you know, we have many things going on all around us, he has already paved the way for us, and he has already overcome the world. And that's what it should mean to every listener, every person that say they believe on Jesus Christ. You should not be meditating in the fact of your problems or any excuses, because he's already paved the way. He's already provided the way. And he told us that if we seek first the kingdom, that everything else will be added to us.
Amen. That's a good statement. That'll preach, won't it?
Yes, it will.
I'm thankful for your testimony. Lassiera, tell our listeners, just succinctly, tell our listeners why you're running for public office. And let me just do a little footnote to that. Most all of us realize that if you're honest and running from a Christian perspective and doing what God wants you to do as a political leader, that you're many times mocked at, laughed at, demeaned. I know very, very high-profile Christian leaders that have left the political arena because they could not get traction, could not effectuate any change, simply because they were taking a stand for God and godliness. So tell us, tell our listeners, why you're running for public office.
I'm running simply because it's my right to run. I know what my God-given kingdom citizen rights hold. I have a clear understanding that my allegiance cannot be to man. I'm very clear on that. I've known that for some time, and God has revealed that to me, that, you know, I can't make it through this life without relying and looking to him. That's the only way that I will be successful. And so I'm running for office because it's biblically sound. Our founding fathers has been through all out the Constitution. The Word of God backs it up in Proverbs 29:2, simply letting us know when the righteous rule, the people rejoice, right? And so I was done sitting idly by, just praying about the situation, just looking for someone else to take a stand, to step up to the plate and make a difference. The Lord said to me, why not you? I put it down on the inside of you. You're disturbed enough. Hey, you know, go forth and be all that I have purposed you to be. So that is why I'm running for office, Dr. Youngblood. It has been long overdue. We have now a Kingdom Conservative Party that I'm backing with. I'm running as no party affiliation. It didn't originally begin that way as far as what I originally thought, but I'm seeing how the Lord has paved the way. He's made a way. He's worked it out in my favor. And I can even more say that I stand independently with my allegiance to God Almighty.
Amen. Well, you have found, as I have found in my short lifetime, less than 100 years, that it's not necessarily the party, Republican or Democrat, because I think there's a wretchedness in both, and I'm not trying to throw the baby out with the bathwater, but with no party affiliation, there's no necessary allegiance to either side, but simply doing what is honorable and right. Lassiera, we've got about 40 seconds before I top of the news break, but the headline news just a few minutes ago was that Governor DeSantis has already signed the heartbeat bill that makes it illegal to do an abortion after 15 weeks. We got about 15 seconds. Just very briefly touch on it. We'll come back. Are you glad that that was done? You think it should have been broader? Or what are your thoughts on it very quickly before we take a news break?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. It was a phenomenal move by the governor. I completely side with it, and I'm grateful that he did implement that law.
Amen. Well, I see our hold on for a few minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. About 1 minute, we'll be back right after the top of the hour news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.